have a purpose for this seminar. A multi-purpose. We want to become aware of the realm of the soul in such a way that we become aware of our own immortal identity here and now. We want to break the mesmerism of the senses. We want to break material sense. We even want to break the consciousness of body and to develop a consciousness out of the body. We wish to build confidence in the presence of the kingdom of God. And we wish to develop a capacity to live consciously, continuously, in the present kingdom of God here and now. Now this may sound somewhat ambitious, but we are already committed to certain facts which it would be well to recognize, especially for those of you who may not have heard our commitments to this point. Those of us who have been studying by tape together are committed now to living here in the finished kingdom of God with the knowledge that it is possible, and that in doing so we will release into experience those qualities of the Father which must be present where God is. And that in the release of these qualities, the Word will be made flesh and will express itself as a new body, a new self, a new identity, a new series of activities, all taking place within the kingdom of God and appearing to our visible senses as an activity from outside of our senses, so that that which is the divine image and likeness will be presented to us instead of the human image. And we have called this the transmutation or transformation which we have been undergoing ever since the first ray of spirit attracted us and pushed us on the path of light. This transmutation from mortality to immortality on the earth, in which the divine image walks in place of the mortal image, is the commitment which we are following. And this series of classes is merely a continuation of that commitment, a clarification of it, and an expansion of our capacity to bring that commitment into specific experience, all in preparation for that which is no longer death but transition. We believe the Enoch experience is not only possible but inevitable for everyone who walks the path of spirit. And it is our function to demonstrate that in our lives. Now, all of you have been dedicated. It's impossible to be here tonight without having been dedicated to finding truth. And you have found it in many ways. You've walked many paths. And even now, if we say we walk the infinite way, we're still walking a path, and we haven't come to the conclusion of it. Now, we wish to clarify one thing tonight, and that is that all your dedication is in vain. All your effort, all your desire, all your sincerity, everything that you're willing to put into the work of finding truth is in vain unless you are willing to accept the authority of Christ. There is no other authority on this earth, and Christ is not a person. When Christ speaks, you have heard a command. And violations of those commands, whether they are voluntary or involuntarily, performed by you, outlaw you from the kingdom of God and make it impossible for you to fulfill the purpose toward which we are now committed. And you will find that when you wish to obey the commandments, the two commandments, or obey any of the other commands given by the Father, resist not evil, judge not, and so forth, that you will not have the capacity to fulfill these commands, no matter how hard you try, if you remain a human being. And because transmutation is necessary for transition, and transition is our committed goal, I cannot have you believe that a human being can make a transition. There is no such thing. The flesh cannot become spirit. Mortality can never become immortal. The human can never see God aright. And it must be known and accepted. And therefore, a dedication, which still insists that you are human and mortal, is a very denial of the words, "Be perfect as your Father." Son, thou art ever with me. Every time you consciously or unconsciously deny that you are the Son of God, you are pushing the kingdom away, and for you, transmutation and transition are words without meaning. And so that is clarified. We who seek this transition cannot be human. And that is one of the reasons why a class of this kind is so unusual. It is more or less accepted. And whoever comes to this class in the future will know that humanity is not their state in the eyes of God. God has no human children. But that is only a beginning. If you were in a canoe trying to get to Europe, it would be a very long voyage. And if you were the only passenger on your little canoe, you probably would never arrive. And you would do what we do in this human world, you would die. And maybe someday, in another life, you'd start out again in your canoe, and you'd never arrive. It isn't possible. You cannot get in a rowboat and row your way from here to Europe. And so if you try and try and try and keep trying, lifetime after lifetime, you will always fail. And you will discover, if you have not already discovered it, that when you apply all of your energy and all of your love of God, you still find yourself in that little rowboat, rowing and rowing and rowing in an ocean so big that you never seem to arrive at the other side. All of this rowing in the canoe is really no different than the way we live as human beings. And I'd like you to see it this way. You're free to roam in space. You can get in a plane today, and in 5 hours you can be far away. Man has done much with space, the space age. But if you stop and think for a moment, although you have total freedom in space, or at least relative freedom, you have no freedom in time. In time, you live minute by minute. You can be a good Christian Scientist, a good Unitarian, a good Orthodox religion, or an unorthodox religion. You can be in yoga, you can be in infinite way, you can be in anything you wish, but if you are living in time, you're in a canoe trying to row your way to Europe. It can't be done. You're living minute by minute, and just to see how confined we are, think for a moment. Think of all your yesterdays and find out if you can live in them now. They're gone. And there's no way you can live in yesterday. No way. You can't live in tomorrow right now. There's no way. You can't even live 1 hour from now. You've got to live in this specific minute. And then you've got to live in the next minute, and this minute is gone. You can't live in that again. You're living in minute by minute by minute by minute, and each minute comes from a place you do not know, and it goes to a place you do not know, and in that minute you live, and only in that single minute, or less, in that second. You just take these minutes and put them one after one after one, and you find you're restricted to them. You can't get out of them. And so you're rowing your canoe in this minute, and the next minute, and the next minute. And we die in those minutes, and we suffer in those minutes, and we see things we love destroyed in those minutes. But God didn't make those minutes. Those minutes were not made by God, and God isn't living in those minutes, and the Son of God isn't living in those minutes. And as you continue to live in those minutes, you are denying your identity. You cannot live in the passing minute and be the Son of God. Christ does not live in the passing minute. You're denying your sonship and the fatherhood of God as you continue to live in passing time. Now, it doesn't make any difference what religion you profess. If you continue to live in the passing minutes, you are denying God to be your Father, and you are denying yourself to be the Son of God. And so that's why tonight is important. It's the key. And you can walk past it. You can turn the other way. You can ignore it, and you can continue to violate the simple truth that God is not in time, Christ is not in time. And you, the Christ of God, cannot be in time. And as you continue in time, you simply say, I am not the Christ. I'm a human being. I'm the flesh. You cannot be perfect in time. Everything in time must die. The Father says, be perfect as your Father. Dying is no way to be perfect. If you continue in time, you die in time. If you live in time, you die in time. And the Father says, my word must be obeyed. And I say, be perfect as your Father. Now, if you continue to live in time and die in time, you cannot be perfect as your Father. Your Father is not dying in time, but you are. Therefore, to be perfect as your Father, you must not die in time. You must live. And if you don't live in time, there's only one other place to live, and that's outside of time. In order to fulfill the command, be perfect as your Father, you must live outside of time in which people die. And not only that, when are you going to be perfect as your Father? God is perfect now. Do we plan to be perfect tomorrow? To be perfect as a Father, we must be perfect now, as our Father is perfect now. And so now we must be perfect. And that is a statement by the Father that now you are perfect outside time. Outside time, now you are perfect. Inside time, you are not. And that is one of the great secrets of the commands and promises in the Bible. We think they are commands and promises, but they're not. They're much more. Resist not evil is not a command. The meek shall inherit the earth is not a promise. It sounds like it in the third dimension of consciousness. In this third dimensional level of this world, those things to us sound like commands, but they are not. They are statements of that quality, that truth, which is part of your real self. Your real self does not resist evil. Your real self does not judge. Your real self has already inherited the earth. It is telling you that which you do not know about your real self. And because you live in a false self, you think it's a command to you. But it's not. It's a revelation of that which is true of your real self. And you'll find that every word spoken by Christ, which sounds as a command and a promise, is a statement of the reality of your real self and of the divine qualities that are part of that real self. And furthermore, those words that are coming to you as commands and promises are coming to you from your real self. If you wanted to know more about you, where would you go? Before you have asked, I have answered, says the Father. And here is the Christ speaking to you, telling you who you are, because the Christ that is speaking in the Bible to you is your real self. I am come, and I say unto you, and who is this I that says all this? I, the Christ, is your real self, telling you what your false sense of self would like to know about yourself, but doesn't know. And I say unto you, resist not evil. Why? Because your real self never resists evil. And therefore, if you're resisting evil, you're in your false self. And when you are able to not resist evil, you find you're in your real self. Because that's the nature of your real self. Your real self is pure in heart. Your real self is the speaker through which the voice of the Father comes and approaches us as one of the prophets or Jesus or the Buddha. But always, when the words of the Bible speak to you, they are the words of your real self telling you who you are and the truth of what you are. And when you read it that way, and then turn away, you're only turning away from your real self. But when you know that, you find you don't turn away anymore. You listen. Because you want to really know about your real self, and here it is. It's been here for 2,000 years. Your real self has been talking to you, and the false sense of self, not having known that, thinks, well, I wonder if I'm supposed to obey that, or if that's a command, or how can I do it? And now, you are living in time, and you do not know what is outside time, but your real self does. And the truth that you are presented by your real self comes from outside time. It is presented to you in your time sense to teach you what is outside time, things that your senses cannot find or discover or know in any other way. So your real self says, blessed are the pure in heart. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of God. They will see God face to face. And you puzzle it out and you puzzle it out without never once realizing this is coming to you into your time sense by your real self living outside time, which knows the truth. And that's why Christ is your only authority. Christ lives outside time. We, in mortal sense, live inside time, and we have been invited to live outside time. You cannot be perfect as your Father unless you live outside time. And then the doubting Thomas says, well, how? How can I live outside time? Take a look at some of the clues you've already been given in the Bible and may not have recognized. The nobleman says, heal my son. And Jesus says, go thy way, thy son liveth. And he says this at a certain time, and when they come to the nobleman's house, the servants, I believe, run out and tell the nobleman. He says, what time did it happen that my son was better? And they give him the exact time, and he says, why? To himself, that's the very time that this man Jesus said to me, thy son liveth. Now, that was an instantaneous healing. And what is an instantaneous healing? It was a statement that in Christ there is no time. When Jesus is on the mountain and his disciples are rowing frantically on the lake and he hears the call, instantly he's walking on the water. Within an instant he is there. Why? In Christ there is no time, but Christ is you. Christ living outside time appears instantly anywhere. When he steps on the ship, instantly it is on the shore, again telling you there is no time in Christ. The Son of God has no time. The devil says, the cosmic mind says, here, I give you all the kingdoms of the world, all wrapped in a yellow ribbon. Take them. Why does he refuse? Just two words. He offers him the kingdoms of the world in time. Time is a mirage. The Christ accepts nothing in time. Where was Jesus crucified? And the secret of that has always been misunderstood. He was crucified in time, but he wasn't in time. A mirage was crucified in time. You cannot crucify the Christ in time. The Christ is outside time, and therefore it appears again. Always we have had with us the inner word about Christ living outside time, and Christ being the firstborn, the Son of God, the only begotten, Christ being the hidden identity of all who walk the earth, Christ being yourself. To know Christ aright, to know God aright, you cannot live in time. You're saying, that's me over there, but I'm over here. You're saying, I'm matter, but I'm Christ too, and you're not. As long as you continue as material being in time, you're rejecting identity. Now, Joel had an experience, you remember? He was in this automobile on his way, I think, to Pasadena. I may have the place wrong. And he arrived at an impossible amount of time, much earlier than he could have. It just wasn't possible humanly. And when people hear the story, they sort of smile. Maybe they think that Joel's watch was wrong, or that he possibly had his mind on something else and it only seemed that way to him. But he was telling us the great secret of living outside of time. And then we are told to remove the time sense. And we say it's impossible. It is for human beings, but it's not impossible for God. It's not impossible for the Son of God. Think of every disease you ever heard of. Where is it? It's in time. And God didn't create disease. That's why it's existent in time. Think of every evil you know. Where is it? It's in time. There's war in time, there's unemployment in time, there's inflation in time, there's sickness in time, there's suffering in time, there are atrocities in time. Every evil on this earth exists in time and nowhere else. And outside time is the perfect, finished kingdom of God. It is timeless. You know God isn't going to be any older tomorrow. You say, I'm 20 years old, I'm 50 years old, I'm 60 years old. Who are you speaking about? You know Christ has no age. You're just saying, I'm not Christ, aren't you? We have all these ways of escaping into the false mortal sense and denying the Christ. We're all Peters. I don't know him. Every time we come into any statement that is about something in time and we believe it happened, we are piercing the Christ. There is nothing happening in time that is not a mirage. There is nothing in time that is not a mirage. And that is why we must get out of time. You stand at a certain point and your life moves by. It moves and it vanishes. Every moment it's vanishing more and more. Finally it's smaller and smaller and smaller, and finally it just vanishes completely. That's why we're called mortals. Because we are living in ever-perishing minutes that die. And we can't pull them back and reclaim them. And then we come back in another body. And then another body, and then another body. We're still rowing that canoe. Still coming back into time. And so let's look at time. What is it? How are we going to step outside of time? When so many millions of people have gone before us and died, and they couldn't step out of time. Our parents and their parents, our ancestors, they couldn't step out of time. They all died in time. Are we going to do that, or are we going to find a way to step out of time and follow the master who could say, "Thy son liveth"? Why? Because you see him dying in time. I see him where he is. He's outside time, and he lives outside time. Everyone lives outside time but doesn't know it. They think they're living in time. The physicist says that time is, he sees it as an electron. And he says the length of the life of an electron seen by the naked eye or by the instruments of science becomes what we call the moment of time. And then the astronomer measures time another way. He says that there are two ways. You look at the angle of the sun or the angle of the vernal equinox, and that gives you time. And then there are others who say that higher space enters into lower space, and that causes the feeling of time. Others say, and I have said, that time is caused by the relationship or the ratio of the atoms of our senses to the atoms of those things around us. But this is only a relative truth. It's still about material time. Now, all time, as we know physical time, is based on a fallacy. And you can see it very easily. For instance, it'll soon be night. Why is it night? Has the sun stopped shining, or have we merely turned away from it? Do you realize the sun never stops shining, and we have 12 hours of darkness, but the sun is always shining? It's always shining. And what's more, it isn't moving around the earth. It's right up there, and it's shining. We have flipped over. And then we flip back. We flip over and back. And every time we flip and then back, we say that's another day. But the sun is always shining. That is the eternal day. And when we flip out and in, that makes night and day. But it isn't night and day at all. It hasn't stopped the sun from shining. It's simply that we turn away from it and we come back to it. And we call that a day or a night. And because we turn away from it and then come back to it, we say that moment that we turned away and came back, that is now yesterday. And the next time, we haven't done it yet, but the next time we turn away and come back, that will be tomorrow. In other words, we have been fooled. We have created yesterdays and tomorrows simply by flipping the earth on its belly back and forth. But the sun keeps shining. And the ancient prophets knew there was an eternal day. On the seventh day, God rested because there was no more time. Time was no more. Time has never been. Time has never passed by. We're simply flipping and flopping inside the eternal day. This is one day. And whether you die and reincarnate, you still come back into this same eternal day. You never really go out of it. You can't. There is just one day. And we all live in this one eternal day. And in it we create the illusion of a changing day that will come tomorrow. But that tomorrow is already here in this eternal day now, and every other tomorrow. It isn't tomorrow at all. It's the eternal day, and all that's happening is that we're squeezing a little more out of the toothpaste jar. A little more toothpaste today, a little more toothpaste tomorrow. We turn back and forth, right in the same eternal day, and that eternal day is always there. When you live in that eternal day, and let the flip and the flop of the earth, the day and the night, the passing and the coming of tomorrow and going into yesterday, you will find that your life isn't vanishing at all. It only seemed to. You can't get out of this day if you try. No one can. You either die and come back into this day and you call it reincarnation, or you pass into the next day. Think for a moment of those 7 days, the 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day he rested, and you find those were 6 days. And this is only one of those days. This eternal day is but one of those days. And within this one day, we come back and forth into the material sense. But time isn't moving. That's as illusionary as the sun coming up tomorrow morning and the sun going down tonight. It isn't coming up and it isn't going down. When you stop and think, it's there. We are doing all that turning in this earth. Now, Christ, in the form of Jesus, had overcome the belief of passing time, of tomorrows that become todays and go into yesterdays, and there was no aging in Christ. There was no dying in Christ. There was no moving of time in Christ. It's simply false consciousness. Lazarus died to our human sense in time, but it was the same as thy son liveth. Outside time, there's no dead anything. Outside time, there's only life. And there's no inside time because time is illusion of the cosmic mind. You can actually experience the non-reality of time. Now, how long does it take you to die? You can't die in a second. It takes you sometimes months, sometimes a year, sometimes days. But each passing minute is not even connected. They're all separated. A minute passes, a minute passes. You can't die in a minute. You're dying in these unseparated passing minutes that aren't even passing. You simply cannot die. There's no way to do it. When you remove the illusion of passing time, and when you meditate upon this seriously, you will discover you can feel the nothingness of time, the illusion of time. You can feel the eternal day. You can feel the earth flipping and flopping inside this vastness with the sun moving nowhere. And you can know, why, I can feel that illusion. It's so clear. Nothing's happening. This is the cosmic sense of time, and it makes us all think we're growing older. It makes us think that the minutes are running away. It even causes what we call our ecology. It makes us think that our environment. Why? Because you have the illusion of that which does not move from the future into the present and then into the past, but you think it is. And so the whole world moves in this flow of invisible time that isn't moving. And it is for that reason, and that reason alone, that we experience death and evil and error. When we say there's a shortage, there's no shortage except in time. When we say there's a lack or a limitation, if you're living outside time, it doesn't touch you. Now, there's a soul language in the Bible. A soul language. And when you begin reading it as a soul language, it talks to you. You'll find that things you never dreamed of were telling you to step outside of time. But you didn't know they were saying that to you because you weren't reading the soul language. You were a mortal being reading the words of someone called Jesus Christ, and there were the two of you. Here was you, and there was Jesus, and Jesus was saying this, and what's more, he was saying it 2,000 years ago. You didn't quite register that this was your higher self outside time telling you that which you didn't know inside time. And it was saying, look, I know something you can't possibly know, and I'm telling it to you. Here it is. You can't serve two masters. You can either serve God or mammon. Now, you can't serve God in time. Because look at anything in time and it's not God-governed. Time is in this world, and this world is not the Father's kingdom. If you want to serve God, you cannot serve God in time in this world. You must live outside time to serve God. And that's soul language. Soul language is saying, you think that I'm just giving you a command again, but I'm not. I'm revealing the nature of reality. And then there's this great intelligence, this incredible intelligence saying to you, do this in such a way that you say, well, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then you find yourself being forced to rise to capacities you didn't know you had. How can you serve God in time, keep failing at it, and then finally die and think you fulfill the command to serve God, not mammon? And so what has it been doing? It's been forcing you finally to come to a place where you say, well, I've done everything I know. What's next? And that's always the purpose. These commands are placed just beyond your reach. Remember when Joel said, I was told to love my neighbor, but there was this one fellow I just couldn't. So I said, God, you do it. We thought that was cute. He was telling us that no human being can love his neighbor. You cannot do it. You've got to know your neighbor to love your neighbor. You can't say that's Christ. That isn't doing it. While you say that's Christ, you will find that in some subtle way you're denying the Christ of your own being or somebody else's Christhood. And so you can't just, pick a someone who is Christ because this is what you're trying to do and then turn around and have a relative you think is somebody you'd rather not have for a relative. There has to be an across-the-board acceptance that time is presenting to us a motion picture of the senses. And if you don't come to that point of view, you'll forever be chasing mirages in time. You'll try to become. You'll try to improve. You'll try to make a better human you. You see, in time, there's a psychology. I'm going to become something, or time will bring this to me. And that's the mirage. Time can't bring it to you. The Son of God is perfect now. You see how easy it is to deny yourself to be the Son by thinking that in time you will be perfect? That's how time fools us, entraps us, and that's why Jesus refused the kingdoms of the world in time. Now then, you're being told to take time and see it another way. To see that it doesn't exist. To start with a whole complete new viewpoint of time. That if I live in time, each minute is a dying minute. I have an ever-perishing life. So you're puzzled. You say, how can I get out of time then? With our five senses, we are glued to time. And so you've got to get out of the five senses. You've got to overcome the beliefs of the five senses, these automatic mechanical beliefs. You saw the tree grow from a little sapling up to a great big tree. That's what your senses said. That isn't what happened. That's what happened in time. That's what happened in your material sense world. If we were in kindergarten, we'd say, yes, the tree grew. Only God can make a tree. But this isn't kindergarten. This is a class committed to being the divine image and likeness of God. And if I accept a material tree over there, I've got to accept a material body over here and a material body over there. I can't have a material body over there and none over there, or a material tree over there and a spiritual body here. I've got to have a spiritual universe. And your senses do not see a spiritual universe. And so, to serve God outside time and not in time, you must rise above your sense perceptions. You can no longer live in a three-dimensional world because that's what your senses tell you is here. You've got to accept the fourth dimension. You've got to accept that you're beside the five senses that you call eye and ear. You had a time sense that you didn't know you had. You didn't think of it as a sense, but as a time sense. And you've got to overcome that. And then comes the greater revelation. You are eternity itself. You cannot live in time. The Christ is the eternal self. To know the Father aright is life eternal. The Son knows the Father. When you accept sonship, you must accept that you are eternal being. You are eternity, not time. These fractions, these minutes that pass by, these unseparated images, these separated little points, these pinpoints of consciousness that are false, you're not going to let your life run down the drain that way once you know that you are eternity itself. And this simply isn't you, these passing moments. These perishing moments of matter. And then in soul language again, you see the Father saying through the Christ, oh, they have no bread. Well, then gather up the fragments. And all of a sudden, this becomes a message about time. And it becomes a message about the fractions of lifespans you have lived. You thought you died once, and you came back, and you lived again, and then you died, and you came back. You went on and on and on, dying and reborning, and dying and reborning, always a new life. And those fragments that were gathered up to multiply loaves and fishes, that is the statement to you, to gather up all those fragments, those lifespans you think you lived. They're all false. See them as one eternal day. You didn't come in and go out and come in and go out. You are the eternal day. You are the Christ of God, which is never born and never dying. We're no longer working on this little lifespan over here to make it better. That one before, and that one before, and that one that is to come, and that one after that. All of these lifespans are fragments. Just like the little loaves and fishes. Gather up the fragments in your consciousness, and do not accept yourself as a reincarnating fraction. Christ doesn't reincarnate. Again, what we're trying to do is to find the many ways in which we deny we are the Son of God. And to come to that concerted effort to see that in time, I am being entrapped into the prison of matter. Of dying matter. Of aging matter. Of matter that ultimately suffers. For no reason other than that it is a concept. Now, during the next 2 days, we're going to have to develop a capacity to be alerted to those traps which drag us back into shifting time. You may not have had to think about it before, but in these 2 days, we're going to think about it. And every time we are in some way reacting to an idea which is trapping us back into material time, we're going to become so aware of it that we can stand and resist not evil. And look at this trap of time and see that it is not actually moving by. So that our whole psychology of losing opportunities, of losing years, is seen to be the illusion that it is. That self of you which exists now outside time is here. Outside time isn't somewhere else. Outside time is here. And there are two worlds, and they're both here. One is here inside time, and one is here outside time. And we're going to become conscious of the one outside time, which is the present finished kingdom of God. Man hasn't seen it because he's running in the illusion of time and cannot look outside it. He is unconscious outside time. And inside time, he has a false consciousness. Awake, thou that sleepest, because you're sleeping in time. And when you awake, you find you're not in time, you're outside time, and you haven't gone anywhere. Now, this can't be done in a moment. It can't be done in 2 days. But we can develop habits, states of alertness, and an activated knowledge about how to consciously know how to live outside time, so that we can practice and practice and practice consciously living outside time and not inside time. And then you'll understand why God says that you must live outside time. God never came and said, I want you to live outside time. But God gave you commandments, and you cannot fulfill them inside time. You have to go outside time to fulfill them. That's why people have failed to fulfill those commandments. That's why death continues. And that's why we fail to solve our problems. You see, we think in terms of, I have safety, security, I have health, but we don't. All of these things we think we have, we find we have them in time. And they melt right in front of us. Health. Old age takes it away from many people. It starts out as health, but why does it diminish? Because it's health in time, and that is not health. You cannot have perfect health in time. Be perfect as your father means you cannot have health that is perfect in time. There's only one more place to get it. You must find health outside time. The health that doesn't die. And now you see that mortality is in time and immortality is outside of time, but they're both here. Be perfect as your father now means here, now. Immortality is outside time. Perfect health is outside time. That's why it's immortal. Just take finances, supply. You think you've got supply. Even if you keep your supply until you pass out of this picture. You then lost it. But if the country goes off a certain standard and onto a new one, and inflation comes along, and strikes continue, and prices come spiraling up and up and up, what you thought was supply now becomes quite a problem. Why? Because it's supply in time. It isn't real supply. Supply in time is a mirage. Everything in time is a mirage. We think we have justice. Many people thought they had justice. They thought they had freedom. And then some iron country comes along and puts them behind a curtain. They don't have freedom all of a sudden. They had it and it's gone. We think loyalty exists here. But some loyalties can be misguided. You find people loyal, they go to jail for their loyalty. They were loyal to the wrong person. Everything that happens in time has an opposite in time. It's a law of this world. There is no health, security, safety, supply, equality, or justice in time, and there's no freedom in time. In fact, there's no life in time. That's why it dies. It has its opposite. That isn't life. That which is in time is not life.